I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
100,000 anti-Israel protesters are expected to rally outside the DNC today. Hundreds of protesters marching through the streets of Chicago yesterday in the first permitted demonstration of the week. The pro-Palestinian March on the DNC is a coalition of over 200 groups. And the leader of Chicago's largest police union says most officers are, quote, holding their breath in fear of these agitators coming to town to create chaos. Meantime, a brand new report is revealing that more than 150 extremist groups are either participating in or supporting those DNC protests this week. Earlier, we spoke with the investigative researcher and expert on extremist groups who put this report together. Listen to this.
This is an alliance of Islamic extremists and communists, Marxists, and anarchists. All these groups, they worked together before, but I haven't seen them quite fuse together like we're seeing right now. And the vast majority of them support Hamas. So what's their agenda? To make the United States essentially not a factor in world affairs. And many of them have advocated or even participated in violence on American soil, economic sabotage, advocating the attacks on police. In many cases, these groups are basically terrorists themselves.
And look, folks, it shows you the situation Democrats are in. This headline from Axios. Scoop. House members, talking about Democrat members of Congress, House members fear DNC violence. They're afraid of their own voters. Why? They know the extent to which they've weaponized that. Encouraging violence on the one hand, but then on the other hand, that builds the expectation among their voters they can commit violence if their cause is just, and they expect not to be arrested. They expect no prosecution charges dropped. House Democrats attending the DNC, Axios writes, are being advised not to book hotel rooms in their own names or engage with protesters if confronted. Axios, again, liberal publication, reports that these Democrats are, quote, very concerned, unquote, about their personal security and safety. A senior House Democrat said law enforcement is telling members not to go to certain areas because they expect violence. So change your name when booking. Hide who you are if you're a member of Congress. Stay as far away as you can from your voters. Put up a wall. Erect a fence to protect yourself. But we don't get protection from their weaponized violent voters. No, the Democrat leadership's trying to disarm us in the face of their violent voters. But here's what they get.
If you look behind me over my shoulder, you'll notice those fences and snowplows in place. We've actually watched all morning as they have started to bring in more metal fencing, more barricades, and these snowplows have been kind of navigating around those barricades and getting into place around the UC. Take a look at some of this video we got earlier this morning. You can see a lot of cars have been turning around already as they're met with these new closures that have been set in place overnight and early this morning.
Yep, walls for them, but not for you. Meanwhile, this crazy idea that the grocery industry needs federal assistance to operate, needs bureaucrats, liberal bureaucrats, to tell them what to charge for food, for goods. Unbelievable. And folks, given the fact that the average profit margin across American industry is 8.5% and it's only 1.5% for grocery stores, do you know what that means essentially? If you go shopping, right, and you have a $100 bill, that's your grocery bill now, it's $100. Kamala Harris, if she cut the profit margin on groceries in half, that'd be a lot, right? Cut it in half. instead of your groceries costing $100, they'd cost $99.25. Are you going to notice that? I'm not going to notice that. But what shoppers do notice is that when the Biden regime began, that same $100 worth of groceries cost between $60 and $65. That they notice. So if she cut 100% of the profit margin and made these companies operate with no profit, which is what the Democrats would like. I mean, that's communism. Instead of $100 a week bill, your bill is going to be $98.50. Instead of, again, the $60 to $65 it was before she cast the tie-breaking vote on the American Rescue Act. So this isn't an economic plan. It's a deflection. It's scapegoating. It's gaslighting. You know why? Because Kamala Harris needs to get that single black mother to the polls to vote for her. And that woman is going through a ton of pain trying to feed her kids, even if she's on government assistance. So this is Kamala saying, hey, it wasn't me. It's this big, bad grocery store. These people are evil, man, but I'm going to make them hurt. The math here doesn't work. And they admitted that over the weekend on PBS and CNN and NBC, which was remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Okay, coming up, so many things going on. Do you see this? 1 in 3 parents can't afford school supplies. Average bill going from the low 600s for the family to go back for like total back to school cost to $875. 1 in 3 parents in a survey of 1,000 parents of kids returning to school says they can't even afford school supplies. But you know what's going on here? Kamala Harris is kind of hedged in. So are the Democrats in a weird way. Because they've gotten their base to the point they hate corporations. They hate capitalism. They hate the free market. And they want to see punishment of anybody involved in any of that. At the same time, they're attacking the basics of the supply chain, going to war with things like energy that's needed to move goods, right? So you're at war all the time with capitalism. You're at war with the delivery system for the goods everyone depends on. But Democrats would like those goods delivered cheaper and on time while destroying the corporations and supply lines that bring them those things, okay? There is, in Kamala Harris's defense, no economic plan that can bring her voters lower price goods while not destroying capitalism and corporations. What she's trying to do is impossible. She's trying to put out a policy that satisfies their bloodlust, their bizarre bloodlust against anybody who makes a profit selling something for a living. And yes, it's bloodlust. Go look at, look at Tim Walz, look at Minneapolis, $500 million worth of damage was done because he refused to intervene. He let them burn it to the ground. These are people who want to burn businesses to the ground. They love it. They love the smell of tires. They do love it. Look at Tim Walz's wife. I'm not exaggerating. I opened the window so I could smell the smell of burning businesses. They love this. Yet when it's election time, they need to promise something. If your entire philosophy is total unmitigated destruction, you can't promise to make people's lives better if your goal is to destroy the delivery system that brings them life itself, food itself, water itself. So I mean, it's a conundrum for her. I don't know how you get out of it.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.